somebody who faces his fears head on instead of running away. Core, I am such a person. Storm frowns. Storm. I'm sorry, Core. I just don't feel excited by this relationship anymore. Storm leaves. Core sits down, looking defeated. So that's the starting scene.
Sounds about right.
And moments later, Bigwood Becker, Mr. Fleek's bottle specked, barges in looking flustered. Core. Goodness, Fleeks, is everything okay? Fleeks. I'm afraid not. Core. What is it? Don't keep me in suspense, Fleeks. It's a hoopoe. I saw an evil hoopoe eat a bunch of a flock of birds. Core, defenseless. A flock of birds? They had screwed the English up.
Is this an ad lib or something that you put together?
Huh? No, it was a generator. It was just a plot generator.
I see. Okay. Coming 2019, Bird Life, the movie. It's a romantic.
I want royalties.
Drama. Action. Drama.
A romantic comedy musical drama with action?
Yes. With elements of film noir.
The plot twist is that you already knew Rector Van Hooper.
That apparently Fleeks only likes cat butts.
Allegedly, because... according to this.
I'm going to hurt you so bad, Fleeks, one day.
Hurt him good. Hurt him so good.
Yes. So bad it'll be good.
I will link that movie script. Oh god, I can't. I can't. Oh god, my head hurts. This generator is so much fun. Yeah, and I put Rector in it because why not? Just imagine an evil hoopoe.
I'm sure he would love to fill that role.
Yeah, but he dies.
Okay.
because you scare him too much with your talons.
My little tiny corvid talons? Okay. This is episode 14 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
Or I'm Fleeks, and I'm awake this time.
And I am the Hoopoe Nation representative.
No, he's only Storm.
Only Storm. He does not represent anything, except maybe a cat butt.
He represents that all the time. He waves it around, he flaunts it in everyone's faces, and nobody really wants it there, but he puts it there anyways.
And
Just like a real cat.
He probably regularly sits on the keyboard of his dragon boyfriend.
Yeah, because it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I enjoy the warmth. What can I say? So, right, what are...
Go ahead.
What are y'all drinking today?
I'm drinking a nice cup of coffee right now, and it will soon be followed by a Schafferhofer.
Yeah,
what
and
the heck is
Schafferhofer is a
I've had it before.
Weiss beer.
Yeah, it's the grapefruit like almost bitch beer.
What about you, Fleeks?
I break with the tradition today, and I'm drinking cider. I had it as a leftover, and it's called Recordelic, and it's a premium strawberry lime cider with strawberry and lime, yeah.
Ooh, that actually sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Send me a picture of that, and I'll see if I can track it down here in the States.
It's from Sweden. Sweden.
Hey, Sweden. So am I.
Or at least it pretends to be made in Sweden, I think. Yeah, I think the backside say something else, but
Okay. Just like many American beers try to pretend to be made in Germany.
Mm.
Yes, 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 yes. I am drinking something absolutely fabulous. I decided I hated dragons so much that I went for dragon's blood.
And I am dragon's blood an incense scent?
It's a wine. And it might be a incense as well, but I'm having a dragon's blood wine. It's from, what the hell company is this? The Black Dragon Meadery. It's from the Black Dragon Meadery in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And I am proud to say it tastes like shit.
How does your draconic boyfriend feel about all this?
Well, he's a bit mixed. I've got him tied up in the basement right now, so I can do terrible things later.
Oh, you're draining the blood from him for the wine. Okay.
Yeah, you know, you gotta connect the dots, and then after that, I go and I add a little bit of honey black cherry to it, and it tastes to really accentuate that nasty, awful draconic taste. So, yeah, it's top shelf. I'm sure if you're a dragon, you'd like it, but otherwise, if you actually have a taste bud, there ain't nothing appealing about this wine. It even smells like piss. Oh, it's great.
That's just about how wines usually are, in my experience.
Yeah, I only drink one wine, and I don't get it here.
Hence why I stick with the Moscatos, too, yeah.
So, this past week, I got to go down to the land of the banjo.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Well, visiting my grandfather is always nice. Especially since my grandma passed away, so it's nice to spend time with the family. But the people down there, oh boy, just a different kind of special when you go down to the south. It really is. Everyone has a much slower pace on life. Everyone and their mother drives in a pickup truck just about. And it seems like, and I don't know, maybe this is just the town I was in, I'm not sure. To be skinny is an exception to the rule. Oh my god.
Oh man.
So they were all very heavy.
Yes. Most of the people in town have at least a gut, if not a very big one. And everything in town is deep fried or, you know, fork sticks of butter. And, you know, if you want to ask for a side of bacon in the morning, you get a plate full of 12 slices. And really? I mean, my god, man. Wow.
Sounds like heaven to me. And again, I love bacon. Of course, if you see anybody skinny down there, they probably are actually the exception to the rule. They're probably super skinny, probably a bit methed out of their heads, and they're tweaking like crazy.
How did you know? I mean, you know,
because it's like the South.
There. But you live in the South.
I don't live in the South.
Technically, you live in the West. You live in the Southwest, but
I live in Utah.
Isn't Utah more in the middle?
It's pretty much right smack in the middle. Probably a little closer to the north. But I'm closer to Idaho than I am to Arizona.
Okay, I believe that.
Idaho's only a couple hours away, while like Arizona, New Mexico, that'd be like a 6 to 8 hour drive. So yeah, I get a little more from the northern potato community than I do. And we get a lot of invasion from the Californians, too.
Well, you know, anything is more stable and sacred in terms of government, or sane, I should say, in terms of government than California. But I digress. Oh, and I also
back
got
to the South. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about the South and all the herd of hatters you talk to.
The herd of hatters I talk to. I visited mainly family. So
get the shotgun.
Well, everyone immediately said, it's weird when you're just sitting there and people come up to you and say, I could tell you're from the north. Like, oh, you mean because I speak proper English, you know, and actually clean up after myself and I'm polite? Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Because you bathe and you don't wear a beer-stained wife beater?
And I don't wear bib overalls. Everyone wears bib overalls apparently down there for some reason. I don't know. They really are wonderful people. I'm giving them a hard time, but they really are wonderful people. Very polite, give you the shirt off their back to help you if they can. But I will tell you something that was rather interesting was this past week on Saturday, Chicago had an absolutely massive protest.
Right.
Made the TV if you've been watching. I was in it. I did not try to be in this protest. I was in it anyway. I was driving to work, and 50,000 protesters decided to flood the street I was on and so, shut it down.
It was more of just a victim of happenstance. So, like, well, this is happening. I might as well join the party now.
Yeah, I'm surrounded. I have people all around my car. They're putting up their signs, chanting, singing, yelling.
What was the protest for?
Oh, anti-Donald Trump, pretty much. Yeah, they pretty much do these protests every couple of days around the country because of, you know, the fact he has such small hands. So people are going and doing this, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? Well, I can't really go anywhere. And I had to wait for like 150 Chicago cops to show up on my block alone with their horses and just slowly part the waters of people so we could drive off one by one. And no matter where you went, there were people everywhere. Oh, it was unbelievable. I think they ended up being like 150,000 people total.
No, that sounds about right, especially with the amounts of protests that have been going on across the nation. Fleeks, tell us about your week.
Oh, I really did not have... I had a lot of unique experiences this week, but at the moment I'm working as a tutor for my university, and every Monday and every Wednesday I teach freshman students animal anatomy, like dissecting. I teach them how to dissect insects and how to dissect worms and stuff, you know, the basic stuff.
Because animal anatomy is worms.
Yeah, they are animals too. Right?
I find it very appropriate that a furry is teaching people how to be about animal anatomy.
The fun thing is most of the insects or worms or crabs or, I don't know, most of them, they are like 90% gonades, 90% reproductive organs.
I think actually, so correct me if I'm wrong here, with insects, their whole existence is actually pretty much wrapped around just, you know, feed, reproduce, and repopulate in mass.
Yeah.
So the majority of their organs and everything is actually generated towards keeping their reproductive organs intact and safe and then developed.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Except maybe... and also because I adopted... a few Madagascar hissing cockroaches, and I don't know how they are called in English, but do you know those insects? They are like almost like grasshoppers, and they are looking like leaves. You know? Do you know them?
Leaf bugs?
I think they are called like that. I don't know.
That's what we call them. Katydids is another one.
Let me. No, not those. I hate those. Not
katydids.
Katydids
are exactly grasshoppers that look like leaves, though.
Let me say let me name you. The problem is I can't find any translation.
You made a comment, Cor, that basically all insects exist to do is to eat and breed, essentially.
Yes.
So how the hell is that different from other life? At its simplest core, even humans pretty much just wake up, they go, they breed, they eat, they shit, they sleep, they wake up, they repeat. That's the core of life. This intelligence stuff is just like a hobby. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but in my daily life, you know, I like to actually intermingle other things like coffee and liquor and podcasts into my life before I go and do the breeding and eating and, you know, pooping and whatever.
And video games and socializing.
Oh, and video games. And video games. And fucking Ark. Ark has my addiction right now. I've been playing Ark for like a month straight. I even bought my own server for Ark, and I'm not going to talk any more about Ark because I'll keep talking about the rest of this episode.
Okay, you can talk next week about video games with us when we actually have the topic, video games.
If anybody wants to play Ark with me, hit me up, at CoreRaven on everything. Telegram, Twitter, whatever. Play Ark.
Don't support this.
And if you want a video game recovery spokesman, just contact me and I'll get you out of it.
And where it was before is, I actually found out how this insect is called in English, and it's called walking leaf. Walking leaf. And it's a very exotic animal, and it does not need a sexual partner to reproduce.
Does not so need a sexual partner to rape you.
Well, just your pronunciation on itself. That. Clone itself, and I need to get rid of the eggs, or I have, like, a lot of walking leaves everywhere. But I will adopt it. I'm very interested in insects, and they are easy to hold, and I don't need to worry about them when I go, like, in holidays for 2 weeks.
So you got a collection of leaf bugs now.
Not leaf bugs. Don't confuse walking them. Leaves. It's a walking leaf.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, whoa. Okay. I think I triggered the biologist in him a little bit.
Also, I have 7 hissing cockroaches, but they are all males, and they actually need to have sex to reproduce. So
again, I saw that going in a completely different direction. I have 7 male cockroaches, and they have the need to reproduce. Like, they're getting really antsy up in that cage.
No, they are all males. A student actually asked me, all the students can take home hitting cockroaches with them, because it's like a tradition. It's like your lucky charm or something. And he took 2 males and asked me if he have to worry about them making eggs, and I had to educate him about the bees and the flowers,
and how males don't work with males that way. Sorry, we're progressive as a society, but it doesn't happen. Like, you don't have hips that are built for that.
Yeah,
no, the cockroaches. You know, he may get the case of the world's first gay hissing cockroach couple, and you never know. Nature could suddenly find a way.
The fun thing is they are actually pretty social. Like, they're always sitting together and, like, almost cuddling. I don't know, that's not very common for insects, except the eusocial insects like bees and stuff. Well, but they are sitting together, they're seeking each other and building groups.
And
that's fascinating.
Do they do the thing that, I mean, I've seen a lot of bugs do this, but do they, like, you know, put their faces together and then, like, touch their antennas together?
Like, that's wiggle their when antennas they have and sex, and the males don't have sex.
So, okay. So, insects only do that, like, as, I guess, foreplay kind of thing?
I don't know. But normally they put their abdomen together, and then they... do you know that firebugs? Like, those really red bugs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're walking like that over days, like they connecting their abdomens.
Yeah.
And then they are walking, and that's mating.
We have those at our house, and they're really obnoxious because they eat trees. But no, what I was talking about is not connecting abdomens. I mean, you know, like putting their faces together, like their little teeny tiny cockroachy faces, and then like touching their antennas together, like
kind of. What, having cockroach kisses?
Yeah, it is actually pretty cute.
Maybe they're probably communicating, I guess. I don't know what they're doing, but yeah.
The biologist spun doesn't
that
know.
Kind of makes me, like, worry because, like, you know, I've had little bugs that, you know, I've kept as pets for periods of time, and, you know, like, I would like to, like, poke their antennas because they would kind of, like, react to it, and they would maybe spin around in a circle, or they'd come back, and, you know, they wouldn't run away necessarily. So I'm sitting here poking their antenna, and now you got me thinking I'm sitting here playing with their antenna. They think I'm trying to instigate sex with them. No.
Well, they have not only their antennas, but also, I don't know how they call it in English, but little things on their upper lip, what they can actually smell with that and taste with that. So probably they touching that.
Jacobson's organ?
Each other. Hmm?
The Jacobson's
organ?
I don't
know. I don't know if death
what can cause the hell death. Is a Jacobson's death. Organ?
Well, I'm just basing it off of what I know with larger creatures, but like horses and dogs, for example, horses especially, like if they are in heat, they will lift their upper lip way up in the air and kind of do that like goofy like head bob thing. They're looking for hormones. They're trying to sense hormones. It's another way of smelling.
I know. It's called phlegm.
Humans are
phlegming. It's called phlegming.
Flaming, I guess.
Phlegming, which let me. Phlegming. It's called phlegming.
Phlegmony snickets.
That's called what they do when cats do that too.
Ah, gotcha. So yes. Do bugs
when
do
they
that?
Make stupid faces? No, I guess not. They just communicating and identifying each other. Like, oh yeah, you're one of my species. Okay, I don't eat you or I don't fight you.
Anyways, so where were we going with this original subject? We've tangented it like four times.
You guys do realize humans are similar with hormones.
Yes, but I don't think we have a developed Jacobson's organ.
I don't know about that, but I do know when females and male humans are looking for a sexual partner, like if you want to get it on, you're horny, and you're in a bar, for example, your nostrils and whatnot will open up slightly to inhale the hormones or in the scents in the air of those around you.
That's actually true. We humans can also get those pheromones pretty good. We can also, but we are having it in the nose. We are having it in the nose or receptors for pheromones, and it actually works. Scientists tested that with artificial pheromones, and if you put that on your body, okay, that was a very interesting experiment. They put two twins who have exactly the same genes,
right,
and so the same pheromones. They put them in two different sides of the room, and then they sent females in, and they should choose one who they felt more connection to. And almost every one of the females went to the one who had that artificial pheromones on him.
Oh, delightful. No, I remember a phase of marketing products going around probably 5-10 years ago of they were male scents. What are they called? Colognes. So colognes that were actually had additives of bull hormone in them.
Oh, man.
And that was supposed to be all, you know, doing exactly what you...
I wouldn't buy that. I think it's not... I think to produce pheromones is very expensive and they just using... I don't know. I don't guess this works.
Oh, come on. Are you saying you don't want to sprinkle a little bird hormones on you?
Even additionally, doing such a thing is kind of just creepy.
Yeah,
the hens flopping over you.
I just use my charm, so that's
his delightful.
Everybody
charm
should just do that.
Yes,
social
charm.
Personality.
Charm.
I just play with my personality, so I don't know if, especially because most of the relationships nowadays, at least that's my feeling. At least my relationship starting in the internet for some.
Where there is no exposure to hormones whatsoever.
Yeah, so...
Not at all. Mm-mm. Bullshit.
Well, I'm talking about actual biological. Like, you can't smell someone over the internet. If you can smell someone over the internet, that person needs to take a bath.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, you can't really smell hormones. They are like...
Yeah, it's like audio frequency that you can't hear except for your nose.
Yeah. You can't.
You can't smell it, but it's there, and it has an effect on you.
Yeah, it has a psychological effect on you, and you don't even realize it.
So, going back to your students and getting free cockroaches for taking your semester, your course. Tell us more about your class.
What's there to tell? I'm teaching them how to more or less cut off animals, and then they have to draw what they see, and they mostly already have sample solutions. They already have sample solutions most of the time from the previous semester. Well, it makes my job easier, but it's also very annoying because all of them have the same the same solution.
Is that not supposed to be a good thing?
Well, I guess.
You're just hoping for some originality in there.
But it makes me angry because I don't know. That's cheating. I don't know. They should learn it. You know what I mean?
Well, if they already know it, then there's not much more to learn.
They don't learn it if they just copy from an earlier semester.
How long does a cockroach live?
The Madagascan hissing cockroach lives about 4 to 5 years.
Oh my god.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
That's a pet you have to put in your will. No, one of my friends, she has a hissing cockroach. I didn't know they lived that long.
Well, they do.
Oh my goodness.
They live 45 years?
Five.
4 to 5. Okay, that's not as bad.
Oh.
Good lord.
I thought you said 45 years.
No, 4 or 5 years. 4 or 5.
4 to 5 years.
See, okay. I thought the school was giving you a cockroach.
4 to 5 years, yeah.
School was giving you a cockroach, and it's like, okay, here, it'll live for like a month or two, and then you're,
No.
4 to 5 years that is still fair.
Okay, it's 4 to 5 years.
You have a pet that suffers alongside you while you're trying to get a job as a biologist.
Pretty much. But at least, well, you know, the food you consider is poor and terrible for a human, but it's very tasty to a cockroach.
This is true.
Speaking of... I just eat brekkies.
Brekkies. Oh, God. Cat food. So speaking of absolute awful artificial everything, as our audience probably knows, Fleeks here decided to pick the movie of the month.
Yes.
The topic today is movies with birds, and of course we needed to watch one of the best movies ever produced.
No,
and I'm sarcastic.
No, don't lie to them. Don't lie to them. It was not the best movie ever. It was the worst movie ever. Did you listen last week's episode at all, by any chance, Fleeks?
Audience, listen, audience. I can sum up the movie in one little description. This is how great the special effects were of this movie. They had a flock of birds where the wings were not even flapping, and as the flock moved away in the sky, it moved away so far and then stopped, and it stopped flying. But the credits kept rolling, and they acted as if it was still flying away.
That was your favorite scene. Not the kamikaze birds that made a stoop down at buildings, and they explode, and they make plane sounds. They make plane sounds.
And then... Oh my god! So they're being attacked by fucking birds, and that's the perfect time to take the family out for a picnic outside. The perfect time! What the hell?
Cor, what did they choose as weapon?
Beg pardon?
When the birds first came.
I wanted to ask you, did you listen to last week's episode at all, Fleeks?
No, I did not have the time.
Oh. Okay, well, had you listened to the episode, you would have heard that I made it about 30 minutes into the movie before checking out completely and closing it. I couldn't do it.
Oh.
I was done. It was bad. It was too much.
We had so much fun watching it.
I so fucking much... MST3K'd that shit in the bird shit with Fleeks. And oh my god. Just, oh.
I was at work doing downtime. There was nothing for me to do at work because where I work right now, everything's kind of closed up for wintertime. So I was just there. I could have watched the movie, but instead of watching the movie, I chose to actually file paperwork and take inventory on medical things.
Well, but then you missed the best parts because actually at the first, the intro is just a driving car that goes about 5 minutes. And
so just like Manos in the Hands of Fate.
Literally, and it's not even a good driving car. It's some asshole with a camera wobbling back and forth as this car does about 25 miles an hour through a country road.
And the title screen, the actor names all in Arial font or whatever it was.
It was horrible. Oh my
god. At least it wasn't Comic Sans.
Yeah, Comic Sans would have been worse. That's right.
Well, and I love how they did the audio. The audio was horrible. It just, they would talk and then you would hear like someone hit the mute button. And then they would unmute it for the next scene. It was just horrible.
It's like they recorded over Discord push button to talk, you know what I mean?
Over a bad internet connection?
Yes. Yeah, right. And it really randomly cuts out. And additionally, the actors were so terrible and they talked so terribly and some strange dialect. I, as German, I could hardly understand them. Not that I wanted to follow the plot and that I wanted to know what they are saying, but and then it somehow, do you know that scene with that black guy that drinks there and he does not really something for the plot? It's just for a scene that goes about 10 minutes about selling solar panels, overpriced solar panels.
Yes! Yes! He carries no weight of the story.
Nothing!
And right at the end of that scene, they kicked on what I can only amount to being cheap porno music. And they used this cheap porno music all throughout the film.
Yeah, they just looked on YouTube for free music or something.
Literally, in the credits, they gave credit to like three different groups. And two of the three groups was a software company with the video software that gives you these free little sound clips, and that's what they used in the
movie. Or the clapping scene that repeated itself about three times, and it went forever. They clapped like super enthusiastic, and the only spectacular thing in that was the one who humped the other one's chair. He humped the chair.
He
humped the chair of his friend to celebrate how many dollars it was?
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
$1 billion. We're being purchased by Oracle for $1 billion. And then everyone just clapped for 10 minutes awkwardly again and again and again. Like, what the hell?
And then the dance scene just I think it was also 5 minutes, just a guy singing a song and they dancing, and nobody else was on the dance floor, only they two. They got a private show from the guy.
They got a private show from a guy who's giving them weird sexual winks in this like international themed bar that's not really international. It's like, oh my god, really? Really?
Yeah. Oh my god. And then, the weapons. The wire hangers. They had lamps. They had everything to throw against. But they chose wire hangers. Attack the birds.
And even better, here's more shit I learned from Birdemic. Okay, more shit. That was the name of the movie. It was Birdemic. Oh my god. One of the things I learned from Birdemic is apparently you can go out to the Pacific Ocean, grab a fish, and throw it right on the fire, and cook it, and prepare to eat it without skinning it, taking off the scales, and doing everything else you need to do to prepare the fish to eat.
Well,
they just took a whole fish, threw on the fire, and acted like they were going to eat it. That's one thing. And then apparently abandoned gas stations have the finest sandwiches money can buy. Apparently, you can still go into a gas station and pay with a credit card for your $105 a gallon for gas.
Yeah. And the telephones didn't work. The telephone didn't work.
But telephone the credit card didn't
work. So plastic is almighty. So there's nothing you can't buy with Visa.
And they're being attacked by birds, but they left the door open, the front door, to every convenience store they went into throughout the whole fucking movie.
Yeah, that was delicious. And then that scene with the scientist in the middle of nowhere on that bridge. He was just standing there, and they see him walking to him. The scientist was like, "Go away! Those birds are contagious! The birds are contagious!" And do you know how he reasoned with him? Hey, we just want to talk. Okay.
We just want to talk, man. Okay.
We just want to talk.
Okay,
man.
We'll talk over there.
Okay, why don't you say that? I thought you wanted to contaminate me. I don't know what this scene was.
So basically, the bottom line, this movie had no plot, absolutely no writing that was worth a damn. And the best part of the whole movie was there was a fat hillbilly Texan dude that was trying to rob the family. Okay, so he pulls out his gun and tells the family, "I'm going to steal your gas."
No. Actually, Storm, that's important. He said, "Sell me your gas." He wanted them to sell him the gas.
He wanted to sell it. They didn't want to sell it. So then he fucking takes the gun out and says that. And then, out of nowhere, okay, poetic justice is served when a bird comes down and decides to kamikaze him and chop his neck. And so he goes and dies. And then in the middle of this bird attack, after the family has said they're running low on gas, they decide to run around their van and jump in and take off to leave, leaving the canister of gas sitting there.
Yeah, they could have just grabbed it.
They could have grabbed it in the same amount of time and put it in the van with them. But no, we're going to run all around the gas and just leave.
From what I'm gathering, the message of this movie, based on the 10 minutes of useless solar panel price being discussed and this obsession with gasoline, I'm guessing the movie as itself was a statement of our dependence on fossil fuel.
And it was a statement about how how we're destroying the planet. Fleeks, do you remember
the tree hugger,
forest fire? The tree hugger and the forest fire scene.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Both those scientists I mentioned before and the tree hugger made in about 10 minutes. It felt like 10 minutes or even more.
Probably worse.
They talked about global warming and. Especially the tree hugger lived in a tree house in the woods.
Yes. And then they had to leave. There was little fires. Not real fires, just little tiny, like Sim City. Anyone that's played Sim City and seen the little fire.
Oh, God.
There was little Sim City fires all over the tree.
Super cheap CGI. And you know, my favorite quote of this movie came from that tree hugger. He was talking to them, and suddenly he was saying, he was looking around and says, "I hear a mountain lion. I have to go." Or something like that, and then he goes. It sounded more like, "Oh, I don't want to talk to you anymore," and made a cheap excuse or something. Or, what's that? To say goodbye. So I can't talk anymore because I hear a mountain lion. You know? What?
Yeah. It's like, are you kidding me? Wow. So bottom line, Birdemic is highly approved by the members of this show. We all encourage you to give it a watch.
No, it's not.
And by all means,
hey, stop.
Not recommended by all members. It's probably recommended by Storm and maybe Fleeks. I recommend you do better things with your life. Like, I don't know, masturbate for an hour and a half.
There actually exists a drinking game for this.
The best for the part movie. Of the movie is like an hour in.
Yeah.
The movie starts out as a cheap porno about environmentalists, and then all of a sudden they wake up one day and birds are attacking. And they're only attacking cars and gas stations.
Yeah.
You remember that? It was cars and gas stations they were attacking.
Only gas stations, yeah. That was...
Oh, my God. So, yes.
Actually, fun fact about the movie, as far as I know, the one who made it, I forgot his name. It's not too important, I guess. He called it a romantic thriller. A romantic environmental thriller. And he wanted to spread a message about global warming with that movie.
So, yes, it's strongly recommended. Make sure you have a bottle of your strongest alcohol with you, because it'll make it a more enjoyable experience. But, my God, it's a classic that will go down.
Don't listen to him. It's not. Don't do it. There are better things to do with your time. Maybe actually go out and plant a couple trees in the hour and a half you would be spending otherwise.
But why did every bird in that movie make seagull noises?
Yes! Oh, and I love when they were attacking the vehicles. They floated in front of the car without flapping their wings. Attacking it and squawking. And then people were shooting at the birds, and they like missed 90% of the time. Oh, by the way, Core, wanna know what's the best part of the movie? The absolute best is at the very end. Ladies and gentlemen, the best part of this movie? They made a Birdemic 2.
Yeah, I haven't watched that.
No, not touching it. We talked last week about Three-Headed Shark Attack, and that was a movie about environmentalism too. About polluting the waters, and I could only make it through because Danny Trejo was in it. This movie doesn't even have Danny Trejo, so no.
So you're saying if Danny Trejo was in it and shot a few birds, you'd watch the whole movie?
Yeah, probably. Actually, yes. It doesn't take much.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I love that. Hey, I wanted to kill Fleeks at first. I wanted my hour and a half back, but... After watching the movie and suffering together and bonding with him over it, aside from coming up with the universal conclusion that he can never pick a movie again, it was a wonderful bond.
Hey, I must say it's so that the movie is so bad that it is freaking entertaining. So
it's so bad it's good.
If you make a bad movie night, that movie has to be in it.
It's got to be like the grand finale. Are you kidding me?
If we're going to watch a bad movie, let's watch a legitimate bad movie, like Zombievers or The Tire.
Or Sharks in the Supermarket.
Sure, I'll give that a try.
Hey, do you guys remember all the snake movies they made? Snakes on a plane, snakes on a train, snakes on a ship.
Remember Anaconda, that shit? Boa versus Python. Yeah, I remember these.
Oh, man. So, I think... So, now that we are talked about the verse... Bird movie, it depends on your perspective, I guess, worst or best, I don't know.
We all can agree it's the worst, because Core couldn't get through 30 minutes of it, so that means Fleeks, you and I are more manly than Core.
Yeah, probably. And now we should... do you have any bird movies you actually enjoyed that you want to talk about?
Oh, we did talk about this last week.
Okay, then the actual topic of the show is Birdemic.
And I resent that manliness comment. I just have better things to do with my time.
Like hanging out with girls.
Like sitting there, like hanging out with paperwork and counting medicine bottles.
Yes, exactly. That was a productive evening. Boring, but productive. And without the pain of Birdemic.
The pain of Birdemic. Oh, good times. So, Core, what is the worst movie you've ever watched? Not worst as in, like, it's funny and good. Worst as in, oh my fucking God, I want my time back.
I can't say Monos in the Hands of Fate because again, I watched that through Mystery Science Theater, and that they made it, you know, bearable with their quips and whatnot. I don't know. Three-headed shark attack was pretty bad. Let me take a look here.
I will probably get a lot of haters for that, but one of the worst movies for me and myself. I don't know. It's not a bad movie, but I just can't watch it to the end. I never managed to watch it to the end, and that's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I don't know.
What?
I can't stand the movie. I can't stand it. I just, it's too much. It's too much for my brain. It's too much to, oh no, too trippy too. I don't know. It's probably super good. Don't get me wrong, but every time I never watch it until the end.
You've actually broken me a little bit as a human being. You have.
Maybe I have to watch it again. But I have to admit, I was always pretty drunk while I watched it or other stuff. And maybe that was the problem. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so actually when I'm going through IMDb's list of worst movies, I see Birdemic on it. And then I found the one I was thinking about. And this is Titanic, The Legend Goes On. It's an animated feature, like for kids. And the plot is a Cinderella meets her Prince Charming on the ill-fated Titanic. Along for the ride are a rapping dog, other talking animals, and assortment of wacky humans. It's making fun of the Titanic, man. And watching it was absolutely painful because it was just completely disrespectful to the entire, like, thing, the event that occurred. And then there was the rapping dog. That was just cringy. It was just a really bad movie.
But you watched it. You watched it to the end.
I watched it up until, I think, just about the end.
Here's a movie I thought was absolutely stupid. And I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. Okay. But the movie actually was called, it's Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. That's a classic.
Never watched it.
Wasn't that great, though. Well, I agree.
Really? I understand why people think it's a classic, it's great, da-da-da-da-da. No, it's not. Absolutely not. It's awful. It's cheesy as hell. Even for 1950s, 40s, whenever the hell that movie originally came out, it's just like, are you fucking kidding me? 1963 came out. Are you kidding me? It's bad. Now, Birdemic still takes the mantle of being the most hilariously entertaining awful movie I've ever watched. But if you're just talking all around bad, what the fuck did I just watch movie? That one is up there.
Oh, God. That reminds me of another movie that's pretty shitty and animal themed. Huh. And that's called Hyenas. Just Hyenas. And that's about bear hyenas. And oh, God, I can't even describe it. That movie was so cringy. In one scene, yeah, there comes a woman comes outside the sleeping room, and then tells to a guy who is there drinking coffee, "I can't sleep." And the guy asks her, "Do you want a coffee?" That's the best thing to do for I don't know. That's one of the examples. What's stupid on that movie?
And for all of our lawyer listeners, I can safely tell you on this show it's called coffee with a ka, because that's the way we pronounce it as birds.
Coffee.
Coffee. Coffee.
So, okay.
Do you both like coffee? And which, if you do, how do you like it?
I'm kicking you off of this show.
For coffee. No. No, we are making bird noises. So, do we like coffee? I'm not a coffee guy, and I rather drink tea.
Okay, what about you, Cor?
I actually very much so am a coffee person. I drink it straight black. I do. My sister and I have a gift exchange that happens every Christmas where we send each other our favorite coffees that we discovered that year. And I think she kind of beat me this year because she sent me some really, really good coffees.
That sounds awesome. I really wish I had someone that appreciated coffee like that, but my parents don't really drink it that much, so kind of on my own. My grandparents drink a ton of it, but parents. I could send you some Puerto Rican coffee if you're ever interested.
And what about you, Storm? About you already answered it, I guess.
Oh, my coffee. love it with I love coffee. I love my coffee sweetened with cream. To give you an idea of the level of sugar that my family enjoys, especially my grandfather, makes me look like a winkling. Okay, he makes me look like a grifflet. My grandfather put so much sugar in that a little coffee cup, regular size coffee mug you buy at the store, probably has 12 sugars. By comparison, a large American-sized large McDonald's coffee, I put 12 cream, 15 sugar.
Lord, would you really like a little bit of coffee with your cream?
I don't like cream in my coffee, and I hate sugar in coffee. I just drink it black if I drink coffee.
Yes, and I heard, Core, I have heard that same fucking thing from the McDonald's employees when I've said that to them before.
Because that's a ridiculous amount of cream.
And I always have to tell them. Now, I know McDonald's trains you to pour the coffee on and not stir it, but that won't work. I need you to stir it manually. It's sad you got to tell them to do that because they won't. And then you just get this monstrosity of sugar at the bottom of your cup that sends you into a sugar high when you go to drink it at the bottom, but it works out.
Well, that's why you swish your cup while you're drinking it. You just kind of swirl your cup around.
That ain't enough. You need...
Okay, we from coffee, we can come to, I guess, from the coffee, we are coming to a nocturnal bird. In our this episode, guess the bird. Are you ready for that? Guess the bird.
Coffee!
Guess the bird. And yeah, it's a day about a nocturnal bird. And... And yeah, I would, again, you know the rules. I read facts, and you're trying to guess what bird I'm talking about.
Right.
Oh, jeez.
And it's just
and first, I promise you all, you're knowing that bird. Okay. So, and I started with, it's a nocturnal bird.
A nocturnal bird?
A nocturnal bird, yeah. Did I say nocturnal?
Yes, you did.
It's a nocturnal. It's nocturnal. I don't know why it always happens to me, but yeah, Poo-tu. I misread it a lot. Right. Why did you already... You did it again, Core. You did it again. You ruined the whole... I never may guess the bird again.
What the hell? Did you just guess the fucking bird?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me? He didn't say shit, and you guessed the bird.
He said nocturnal. That's all I needed.
I was thinking owl.
They're owls. Yeah. They're owls.
The owls are too obvious. That was way too obvious for Fleeks.
And all the shit. But yeah, so now that you destroyed the question round, and I don't know, this bird has a haunting song. Like, it's so haunting that... it's the subject of much local folklore. For example, in Peru, its song evokes from the tale of a lost child calling for his mother. So it seems like it has a really scary voice. I don't know what sounds it makes, but wow. And that's one of the birds who does not build a nest. Instead, it lays really only a single egg on top of, for example, a stump, a broken branch, or in a slight depression on a large tree limb, or yeah, stuff like that, you know, where it can't roll away, but yeah, they're too lazy to build nests, and yeah.
That I did not know.
And it has, on its hooked bill, it has, on the upper mandible, it has on the upper beak, it has a tooth-like protection thingy. So it has a tooth, more or less. Yeah. But not really a tooth in biological sense.
Is it like an egg tooth kind of thing, like some reptiles have, where they just kind of use it to pop something open?
It's more for the protection of their beak.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And because their prey is more or less large flying insects. Also, they grab it while they are flying. You ruined the game, really? Core.
That fucking... Thanks, Core. Audience, you guys don't know this, but Core just sent me a GIF of some asshole putting a shit ton of sugar cubes in his coffee.
Why, Core?
Over and over and over and over and over, and then they keeps putting more sugar cubes in his coffee. No! The guy ends up pouring the whole fucking coffee cup into the sugar container!
Yeah, that sounds about like you.
Okay. Thank you. I know I have pictures in my head. Thank you.
So, well, it's in the Bird Life chat now. Hey, Fleeks, I actually do have a question for you. Tawny Frogmouths. Do you know the bird I'm talking about?
Oh? Not the English word, at least. Tawny what?
Tawny Frogmouths.
I know the...
Okay, so you do know this bird. So my question is how... In relation, how close are they related to Putus? Because they're very similar in appearance and even behavior.
Probably very. Do they have synonyms? Synonym names?
As far as I know, they're different species.
Yeah. I know. But yeah, they do not have that big eyes, but they probably have a lot in common.
Okay.
So you mean the biologist doesn't know?
Well, don't call him out on his pride.
I know that they are really related to Eastern whippoorwills and chuck will widows. If you look at them, you'll see, oh yeah, you will recognize that in an instant.
Ah, okay.
Would you rather be an ugly peafowl or a pretty putu? Putu.
Can a peacock be ugly? I don't think they can. They're so beautiful.
A really ugly peafowl that does not look nice anymore. I can Google it. Maybe I find a picture.
The ugly peafowl? Is that the new story of the ugly duckling?
Maybe.
After all, ugliness is subject to interpretation.
That is true.
Yeah, let's say he has almost no feathers on it anymore. It's almost naked, and
so that's a bald an ugly peacock. People. Okay,
a bald people. Yeah, a bald peacock. Yeah, let's change the question to bald peacock. And
regardless of the question, I think I would still rather be a putu.
And a very pretty putu with what?
I think I would still rather be a putu. They're cute. There's not an ugly putu.
Yeah. I think so. They don't look pretty from the front, but somehow they are unique too. And I think I would rather be a putu, especially because even as peafowl, I wouldn't want to always drag the tail behind me.
Aww.
That's I don't know, that's just exhausting, I guess.
Plus, they can't really fly. I mean, they can get themselves up in trees and whatnot, and they do.
Yeah.
But they can't really fly for, like, an actual distance.
The thing is, actually, it makes the tail makes them a pretty easy prey. So, what makes them attractive to females is surviving. Just surviving. If they live, they see, oh, this he lives, so he must be strong. Let's have sex.
He's biologically viable.
Well, that's how Core gets all his mates, so...
Beg pardon. I don't have a giant tail I fan out. Well, I do, but... I mean, I don't have, like, super bright coloration. I guess I do, but I mean, like... Shut up, Storm.
What about you, Storm? A bald peafowl or a pretty putu?
And I definitely do not raise my tail feathers and wave it in people's... Shut up, Storm!
I don't know. On this one, sometimes beauty's in the eye of the beholder, so I guess I'll go ugly.
With the ugly peafowl, the bald peafowl. We changed it to bald, so you're a bald bird.
There you go. There are some chicks that get all hot over that, so we'll go for that.
Okay, your choice. So yeah, we are Putus, and Storm is bald.
This is the Putu cast now.
PTO cast and the people. It's like a Birds and a Griffin, so it doesn't change much.
Honestly, these all sound like fantastic sitcom titles. Two Birds and a Griffin, Two Pootoos and a Peacock. Like, I would watch the shit out of those shows.
Yeah, now we are needing that laughter in the background from the audience. You need to put that in when you're doing...
No, this is not a soundbite cast.
Yeah, that audience laugh.
Have you ever watched a sitcom and heard the audience laugh at a scene that actually wasn't funny?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother, getting... all the time. Don't get me wrong, you know, I love How I Met Your Mother, but the audience, the canned laughter gets to me.
Well, do you know that actually they weren't a live audience, but they recorded the laughing when they actually watched it in a cinema, you know what I mean?
Right, and then they just repeat the laughter throughout the series.
Mm.
It's called canned laughter for a reason. It's just sound bites.
Yeah. And so, I don't even know...
No. I was wondering if you guys were ready to take a few questions from the audience.
Yes, let's do
it. Yeah, of course. I was born ready.
First question comes from our lovely Chai. The question is this. How does it feel to be able to actually meet other burbs at cons and such? I've always wondered what goes through one's mind when meeting fellow burbs.
So actually, sorry that I already read that question, and the first thing I thought was, it's like, hey, cool, another bird in real life. But in your head, it's like, bird, oh God, another bird, cool bird. But yeah, in real life, hey, bird, hey, how are you? Oh, cool, you're a bird. But in your head, it's like, oh yeah, man.
Well,
it's a rare sight.
This is exactly how I met Juko. It was at the one convention that we had here in Salt Lake City for, you know, the 2 or 3 years that it lasted. The last convention, I met him at that, and I was actually wandering around trying to find other birds at the con, just because the bird crew did already exist at that point. I was kind of trying to, like, find people to introduce to it, or, you know, see if there were people that were in the crew that were at this con by any chance. There weren't. It was just Juko and one other bird who, as I tried to track him down, apparently he was lost on a train in Salt Lake City somewhere.
It happens. It's Salt Lake City.
But that's how I met Juko. So we just kind of started hanging out and talking. And according to him, I was really super awkward about it. And I didn't feel like I was being awkward about it. But hey, I guess that's also in the eyes of the beholder. But it was. Corby, it was a lot of fun to kind of meet and, you know, find another exactly bird. Not just, you know, the furry fandom in general, but find in the niche of a niche a new friend.
Let me tell you what goes through my mind when I meet another burb. It's like, hey, a fellow avian. Whereas my mind's going, ah! That sums it up for me.
Yeah, pretty similar to me. Yeah.
And so I go and I meet up with them. And it's especially awesome when you meet another burb. And in addition to meeting them, they end up to be awesome mother cluckas. And if they end up being awesome mother cluckas, and then you add them to your flock, and it's just a flock of chirperific greatness. And really, it's we're a niche of a niche of a niche of a niche. And
it just goes deeper, man. It's like it's nicheception.
Yes.
Nicheception.
We're the best niche money can buy. And come on, how many other groups can you get together and have a mutual preen and everyone just, you know, have a great time with it?
All joking aside, like, honest to God, this community, like, our tiny niche in a niche community is the best community I've ever seen. Like, best behaved, best, like, you know, most sociable, like, everybody wants to talk to everybody, like, everybody wants to get to know everybody, and that is really cool. That is an amazing thing that I just love about this like, tiny corner of the community, and we will slowly take over the entire furry fandom.
There are more and more birds.
Well, pretty soon you're going to show up at a con and there's going to be feathers flying everywhere.
Exactly. We'll outnumber the foxes. I don't know if that's a good thing, but I kind of look forward to the day.
Also, what we could out right now was bird fursuits. That's like, every time I see one, I just want them to take me in their rings and just give me some kind of fuck, you know what I mean?
I'm glad you finished that sentence, Fleeks. I just want them to take me in their wings.
Yes, I'm glad he finished that, because it was like, well, we're about to earn our mature rating.
And that's why wingers are better, because with their back wings, they mostly can't really...
Oh, fuck wingers!
So see, I'm on board, because with wingers,
can of worms.
The hugs are just warmer with wings, you know? Like, being able to get wrapped around, like, in a natural hug with wings, it's perfect. You can't really do that with back wings,
I pull you in for the initial hug, and then I surround you with my wings, and it's just one wonderful burrito of chirpy greatness.
Anyways.
Okay.
Oh, fuck you.
Love you, Storm. We give you so much shit, but I love you.
I love you.
All right,
moving on to the next question.
I'm in a flock of idiots or bird brains. Okay, next question comes from Elijah, the greatest Blue Jay, apparently. And the question is this. Where do Blue Jays sit in your bird hierarchy? How do you feel about other corvids? Why is Corv purple? So let's start with part one of that question. Where do Blue Jays sit in your hierarchy?
As far as birds that we enjoy?
Yes. Start with you.
I'd say they're actually pretty far up there. We really don't get a whole lot of them in this area, so I don't see them. But when I do, like, I really enjoy seeing them because they're so rare.
Yeah, I would like to see one once, because I think that they're pretty, pretty birds.
They really
pretty
are.
Pretty, you know? Yeah. Well, and I enjoy to draw them. I enjoy to draw them, really.
For me, I see blue jays a little bit more often here where I nest in Chicagoland. But in terms of the blue jays, the proper bird, I think they're beautiful birds. In terms of within the Birdanian fandom, blue jays are probably within my top 10 birds I enjoy the most.
Within the fandom, they're quite a bit more common. And they've taken on the reputation of being the sluts of the group. Can I say that? Can I get away with that? I think I can get away with that. Okay.
That's why, that may be part of the reason why I enjoy them being in the top 10 for reasons. Okay. For explicit reasons, Grandma doesn't want you to know. Part two, how do you feel about other corvids? Well, for me, I'm like, they're a bird. What about you guys?
I always enjoy seeing other, like, crows, ravens, magpies, and so if you didn't know, blue jays are actually also a corvid as well, so we get to include that in the little family. They're incredibly intelligent as a species, so I like to expect that from other fellow corvids that are within the fandom.
Yeah, I can't really add anything to corvids. I just say, same.
Okay. Now, last question, follow-up is for you,
Corv. I can answer it too.
Well, actually, we're all going to try answering this, okay? Question is, why is Corv a purple raven? My theory is Corv is a purple raven because he likes to eat lots and lots of grapes. And I'm talking not just eat grapes, but he comes home at night and takes a bird bath in grapes and rubs them all over his body. And then when he gets ready to make love to his sweet avian partner, he whips out the grape lube and the grape jelly. And he really loves
it. Oh, man.
So that way the hyena can lick it all off of him.
Grapes entirely. I hate grapes. They're only good in Moscato's. And
my theory
replace that with blueberries.
Okay, but my theory is that his raven sona shares genes with an eggplant.
Oh my god, you goof. All right, Corv, what's the real reason?
Because purple's the color of royalty.
So maybe that's why my penis is purple.
Oh, that was painful. That was so painful.
That was bad. No, your dick is purple because you spend your entire day strangling it.
No, the show earned its explicit rating.
Oh, you walked right into that one.
I walked into it. You walked right back into the door as well.
Well, let's end on a high note. Last questions from our lovely Reg Day. Question is, have you ever accidentally made your bird noises out in public, non-furry places like work, etc.?
No. No, I haven't. No. I can't say
not,
I have.
Not bird noises. Not bird noises. But when I was together with my ex-girlfriend, I think when we like cuddled in public, it could have happened that I made some noises, like or I don't know, stuff like that. It just happened because we were like that.
Because you were furry trash.
Yeah, I'm furry trash. or feathery trash. Like we need to totally make our own thing. No,
okay,
right. That's right. We're above the furry trash. We're in a league of our own.
Yeah, we are. We are bird trash.
Is that something to be proud of?
Absolutely. For me, yes. I catch myself doing it all the time. I have called clients bird brains. I have.
Hopefully not to their faces.
Oh yeah, I have squawked at a computer before, and I have. I don't realize how much of a bonehead I look like until after people give me the weird looks, and I just laugh and I say, "Well, I'm not allowed to curse at work, so I've substituted it with silly bird noises to help me get through it." And they go, "Oh, that's funny. I understand."
Fair enough. Okay, just pass it on.
Okay, now that we are through with the questions from our listeners, I actually. For fun, I looked about questions on the internet about birds on, for example, Yahoo Ask or all the platforms, blah, 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 IQ, however they are called.
Okay.
And I actually found two pretty ridiculously, I don't know, questions I want to ask to you, and you can try to answer those. Questions. And the first question I found was, are chicken animals or birds?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
They are both.
Oh my god.
Why are chicken animals or birds? What is this question?
That's like going into a restaurant and the waitress asks you, do you want a booth or table? And you say yes.
Actually, a friend did that on the drive in from Burger King. He was asked, do you want mayonnaise or ketchup to your fries? And he was just saying, yeah, yes.
So naturally,
and
they just actually gave him both.
He actually got both.
Yeah, that's what free. You do. I'm pretty sure the person who was asking that question was more like trying to ask if they were mammals or avians, but they didn't do a very good job.
Yeah. And the second question I found is pretty hilarious in my opinion. Why does my bird scream when it watches me pee?
What?
It screams because... He's the small size of your Johnson and is ashamed such a small Johnson is on a creature of your size.
Or just says, hey, give me attention. Don't give your attention to that thing there, whatever it is. Why does the bird scream? Why does somebody ask the internet something like that?
Gore?
I don't have an answer. I've got nothing.
You got to come up with a theory.
I got nothing. I know. I don't have anything.
I think the question itself is can be stay like that unanswered.
It should just stay unanswered. Nobody should give him the dignity of answering that question.
Okay, Core, I've got a question for you and Fleeks.
Okay.
what is the difference from your experiences between getting high and getting really drunk, the buzz?
They're nothing like the same.
Explain. And it depends on high on what, because I think...
Let's say like marijuana. They'll make it something.
Alcohol makes me party, and the other stuff makes me sleepy.
The best way to put it is alcohol kind of gets you bubbly and makes you happy, even though it's weirdly enough a depressant. But yeah, it does kind of pick you up, and so you know what it's like to be drunk. To be high is not really an equatable experience. It's not sobriety, but it's just different entirely. And I think the experience is vastly different for everybody with weed. A lot of people probably have very similar, you know, the typical, like, giggly, stupid, you know, everything slows down and, like everything becomes funnier when you're high. Or you think you're coming up with these profound, amazing ideas, but you're really not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's because the marijuana actually slows the processes of the brain down while you're high. Meanwhile, alcohol
speeds it up, I think. Everything goes.
Alcohol is a depressant, though.
Yeah, it is a depressant. I don't think it necessarily slows down the processes of the brain. I think it just slows down your overall ability to react and makes you. Both things make you just process reality differently.
See, for me, because I may have finally had a chance to enjoy a brownie, it was interesting because it felt like in the beginning, it felt like I had drank a lot, and it was just everything was hilarious. I don't care what it was,
right?
And then I went from that to sex was amazing, but it took three times as long. And then I went from that to I thought I was dying. Seriously, I thought I was dying and like the world was coming to an end. Of course, there was a little intelligent voice saying, hey, you're just high, relax. So I just kind of sat there and waited for that to pass. But that was really intense, creepy paranoia. And then that passed, and then everything just kind of felt really slow.
Everything mellowed like out mellow, as slow. You came down from your high.
Yeah, and everything was mellow. I don't care what it was. It was just, okay, life's okay.
Yeah, that sounds about
no matter what it is.
Like a typical, like, high.
Yeah, well, that may be typical. I haven't ever experienced that before, so that was quite the acid trip, even though it wasn't acid. But, yeah, it was the trip.
Speaking of harder drugs, yeah. That's just it. They each have a different effect on you. Psychologically and physiologically. So you can't really compare it. It's like apples and oranges. It literally is. Figuratively, literally. I don't know.
But you were telling me a couple episodes ago how you got high inadvertently or advertently on New Year's Eve, and you don't like the way it makes you feel, apparently.
Correct. So it was fully intentional. It was the third time I tried. And it didn't really... I guess the thing with alcohol is when I'm drunk, I feel like I have a little more control over the situation. I know I can stuff myself full of bread and coffee and be sober in half an hour. But if you're high, you are just kind of along for that ride. You don't really have an exit. You just kind of have to ride it out, you know? So
yeah, I know exactly what you mean now, and it's not a fun feeling.
That is one of the reasons I don't really like getting high, but that wouldn't be a definition of why. For me, it just makes me feel kind of sickly, and I don't like the taste, smell, and the experience just isn't as good as alcohol provides for me, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is also cheaper.
For me, it's just a sleep-inducing drug. It's nothing more for me.
So you smoke a joint and then go to bed?
Yeah, if I would have problems with sleeping, what I obviously do not have for some. Yeah, I would go with that. I would rather take that than an aggressive sleeping pill, I guess.
Which is kind of weird because a lot of alcoholics use alcohol to go to sleep.
Oh no! I don't. Oh God! I know. I see what you did there, but no.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to flip a thing on you. I promise. I was just saying.
Yeah, just saying.
I'm just saying, just for educational purposes only. You know, point of topic. Okay. Well, is there anything else any of you want to discuss at the moment?
I think we probably wrapped it up on the subject of birds getting high. That was a good way to wrap up.
Yeah, birds getting high, always a good topic.
Okay, so thank you so much for joining us this week. Feel free to catch us on iTunes, Google Play Music via the RSS feed. You can also talk to us on Telegram, Twitter, and Facebook, Bird Life Podcast. And this is the end of the show, so you can actually go ahead and turn off your podcast app now, because all that's left after this is just the blooper reel and the outro. But this is the part where I say, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider kissing the bird. If you go to the website bird.life and click on the little magpie, by kissing the bird, you donate $1 towards the show, which keeps us free and helps pay for the website and server fees. We only ask $1 because it's not necessarily a lot to you, but it means the world to us. It really does. So thank you, and always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Beep, beep, damn it.
Oh, God. Oddly enough, there weren't really any bloopers this week, so I don't really have anything to put here, which means you're still listening to this, expecting something funny to happen, and I'm sorry to be the one to disappoint you, but there's nothing. So, good night. Yeah. You're still here, aren't you? I really don't have anything. Here, you can have this soundbite of Fleeks playing with the Peregrine Falcon plush toy.